Chapter 65. The Pentagon was built because World War II was coming, and because World War II was coming, it was built without much steel. Steel was needed elsewhere, as always in wartime. Thus, the giant building was a monument to the strength and mass of concrete. So much sand was needed for the mix, it was dredged right out of the Potomac River, not far from the rising walls themselves, nearly 1,000,000 tons of it. The result was extreme solidity and silence. There were 30,000 people the other side of Fraser's closed door, but I couldn't hear any of them. I couldn't hear anything at all, just the kind of hissing quiet typical of a C-ring office. Fraser said, "Don't forget you're talking to an officer senior to you in rank." I said, "Don't forget you're talking to an MP, authorized to arrest anyone from a newborn private to a 5-star general." "What's your point?" "The Tennessee Free Citizens were ordered to kill him." "That's clear, I think, and I agree. They acted with an excess of zeal when they got there. But that's on the guy who gave the order as much as it's on them. More so, in fact. Responsibility starts at the top." "No one gave any orders." "They were dispatched at the same moment I was, and Monroe. We all converged. It was one single integrated decision. Because Reed Riley was there." "Who knew that?" "Perhaps it was a local decision." "What was your personal position?"
"Purely passive and reactive. I was ready to handle the fallout, if any, nothing more."
"You sure?"
"Senate liaison is always passive. It's about putting out fires."
"Is it never proactive? Never about cutting fire breaks ahead of time?"
"How could I have done that?"
"You could have seen the danger coming. You could have made a plan. You could have decided to defend Kellum's fence from pesky civilians asking awkward questions. But you couldn't ask the Rangers to do that themselves. No commander on Earth would recognize that as a legal order. So you could have called some unofficial buddies from Tennessee, say, which is your home state, where you know people. That's possible, isn't it?"
"No, that's ridiculous."
"And then to integrate your whole approach, you could have decided to tap MP phones to monitor things and to give yourself an early warning in case anything seemed to be heading in the wrong direction."
"That's ridiculous, too."
"Do you deny it?"
"Of course I deny it."
"So humor me," I said. "Let's talk theoretically. If a person did those two things, what would you think?"
"What two things?"
"Called Tennessee and tapped phones. What would you think?"
"That laws were broken."
"Would a person do one thing and not the other, speaking as a professional soldier?"
"He couldn't afford to. He couldn't afford to have an unauthorized force in the field without a way of knowing if it was close to being discovered."
"I agree," I said. "So whoever deployed the Yahoos also tapped the phones, and whoever tapped the phones also deployed the Yahoos. Am I making sense, theoretically?"
"I suppose so."
"Yes or no, Colonel?"
"Yes."
I asked, "How good is your short-term memory?"
"Good enough."
"What was the first thing you said to me when I came in here today?"
"I told you to close the door."
"No, you said hello, then you told me to close the door."
"And then I told you to sit down."
"And then?" he said.
"I don't recall."
"We had a minor discussion about how busy this place is at noon."
"Yes, I remember."
"And then you asked me what news I had."
"And you didn't have any."
"Which surprised you, because I had left a message in which I told you I had the name."
I was surprised, yes.
What name?
I wasn't sure. It might have concerned anything. In which case, you would have said a name, not the name. Perhaps I was humoring your delusion that someone did, in fact, send those amateurs to Mississippi, because it seemed important to you. It was important to me, because it was true. Okay, I respect your convictions. I suggest you find out who.
I have found out who.
He didn't reply.
You slipped up, I said.
He didn't answer. I didn't leave you a message, I said. I made an appointment with your scheduler, that was all. I didn't give a reason for it. I just said I needed to see you at noon today. The only time I mentioned anything about names and the Tennessee Free Citizens was on a completely separate call with General Garber, which, evidently, you were listening to. The hissing quiet in the little office seemed to change in pitch. It went low and ominous, like a real thrumming silence. Fraser said, "Some things are too big for you to understand, son." "Probably," I said. "I'm not too clear about what happened in the first trillionth of a second after the Big Bang. I can't make the quantum physics work, but I can get by with a lot of other things. For instance, I understand the Constitution of the United States pretty well. You ever heard of the First Amendment? It guarantees the freedom of the press, which means any old journalist is entitled to approach any old fence he likes. That guy was from some radical pinko rag in a college town. And I understand you're lazy. You've spent years kissing Carlton Riley's ass, and you don't want to start over with a new guy. Not now, because that would involve actually doing your damn job." No reply. I said, "The second human being your boys killed was an underage recruit. He was on his way to try to join the army. His mother killed herself the same night. I understand both of those things, because I saw what was left, first one and then the other." No reply. I said, "And I understand you're doubly arrogant. First, you thought I wouldn't figure out your genius scheme, and then when I did, you thought you could deal with me all by yourself. No help, no backup, no arrest teams, just you and me, here and now. I have to ask, how dumb are you?" "And I have to ask, are you armed?"
"I'm in Class A uniform," I said. "No sidearm is carried with Class A uniform. You'll find that in the regulations."
"So, how dumb are you?"
I didn't expect to be in this situation. I didn't expect to get this far.
"Take my advice, son. Hope for the best, plan for the worst."
"You got a gun in your desk?"
"I have two guns in my desk."
"You going to shoot me?"
"If I have to."
"This is the Pentagon. There are 30,000 military personnel outside your door. They're all trained to run toward the sound of gunfire. You better have a story ready."
"You attacked me?"
"Why would I?"
"Because you're obsessed about who shot some ugly black kid in the back of Beyond."
"I never told anyone he was ugly. Or black. Not on the phone. You must have gotten that from your Tennessee buddies."
"Whatever. You're obsessed. I ordered you to leave, but you attacked me."
I leaned back in his visitor chair. I stretched my legs out in front of me. I let my arms hang down. I got good and relaxed. I could have fallen asleep. I said, "This doesn't look like a very threatening posture, does it? And I weigh about 250. You'll have a problem moving me before
3C314 and 3C316 get in here, which will take them about a second and a half, and then you'll have to deal with the MPs. You kill one of their own in dubious circumstances, they'll tear you apart. My neighbors won't hear. No one will hear a thing. Why? You got suppressors on those guns? I don't need suppressors or guns. Then he did a very strange thing. He stepped over and took a picture off his wall, a black and white photograph, himself and Senator Carlton Riley. It was signed by the senator, I assumed, not by him. He stepped away from the wall and laid the picture on his desk. Then he stepped back again and pincered his fingertips and worried the nail out of the plaster. "Is that it?" I said. "You're going to prick me to death with a pin?" He put the nail next to the photograph. He opened a drawer and took out a hammer. He said, "I was in the middle of rehanging the picture when you attacked me. Fortunately, I was able to grab the hammer, which was still close at hand." I said nothing. "It will be very quiet," he said. "One solid blow should do it. I'll have plenty of time to arrange your body whatever way I need to." "You're insane," I said. "No, I'm committed," he said, "to the future of the Army.